Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Donna, for sharing, showing us those pictures. So much to rejoice in. So much to celebrate. You know, this morning we heard from Tim and from Ryan and the local mission that's happening. We're just scratching the surface there. And now from Jerry and Donna, the international mission that's happening that you're a part of. So what motivates us to do this? That's the question this morning I want to ask us in the time we have remaining. What motivates us to be on mission? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What is our motivation to reach the people of St. Petersburg? To reach the people here in this Tampa Bay area? This is the long-term mission God has us on. This is the long-term mission trip that He's called us to. You know, Madagascar is what, 7 hours ahead? And so, here, 7 hours ago, they were preaching in their churches, just like we are right now. The mission continues. Jerry and Donna aren't there, but the mission continues for those pastors. They're on a long-term mission trip. The mission continues where we are. You know, and so the question is, what motivates us to be on this long-term trip? And do we understand and are we living with the intentionality of a missionary here in St. Petersburg, here in the Tampa Bay area? So let's look at what motivated Paul to be on this mission that he was on. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen, rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly or human point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, 'In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you.' I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." So what motivated Paul? What motivated those who were with him in gospel mission to reach out to the Corinthians or any church for that matter? And what motivates us? We see first in verse 11 that what motivated Paul was a healthy fear of the Lord. He says in verse 11, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men." So what motivated him was the fear of the Lord, this awe, this reverence, this devotion that he carried around with him, an awareness that he had a responsibility to carry a message, to be faithful with this mystery revealed in Christ Jesus, that we can be reconciled to the living God. I want to be faithful with this obligation entrusted to me. I want to be faithful with this message given to me. I know that I'm going to give an account. In verse 10 of chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians, Paul gets into that. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." He understood that one day he would stand before his Maker and give an account. Paul also understood that his righteousness was in Christ Jesus, that he would be accepted before and was accepted before a holy God because of the righteousness of Jesus. But he also felt a responsibility. He had been given, entrusted with a message to bring to others. And I wonder, do we feel that responsibility? Do we feel the obligation set before us? Do we live in the fear of the Lord? You know, if God is small in our eyes, that if he's small and uninspiring, if he isn't breathtaking, then we won't fear him. Is he breathtaking? Do we stand in awe of him? Do we consider his holiness? Do we consider the responsibility to live faithfully this life out for his glory? Second thing that motivated Paul is found in verse 14. We see, for Christ's love compels us, he says, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. He says, Christ's love compels us. It pushes us. When I read this verse, I think about a bar of soap and some wet hands. Yeah, every time I read this verse, that's what I think about. All right, so just think, if you hold a bar of soap and you've got wet hands and you push on it from every side, it pops right out. It goes forward. And so the love of Christ has this that kind of force against us. It compels us. There's this compelling nature when we consider what God has done in Christ. When we consider the true love of God expressed in Jesus, it has a compelling force. We want to share this with others. It drives us. It drove Paul. He says, for Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. There's a conviction here. The truth is, there are many things in our lives that would try to work against us, suck out all the energy from us, and keep us living lives that are just small and self-centered. Thousands of things that work against us. But verse 15 is our freedom. We see this. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. This is our privilege. He died for us, that we would no longer live for ourselves, but our lives are now centered on Christ, that we could live for the one who died for us and was raised again. And then we see verse 18, this reconciliation. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he's committed to us this message of reconciliation. So what motivated Paul? You know, when that alarm clock went off and he hit it, what motivated him to get up and be on mission for the glory of God, for the sake of the gospel? I'll tell you what. He understood what it was to fear the Lord, and he wanted to persuade men to bow before their true God. He understood the love of Jesus, and it compelled him. It pushed him forward. And he understood the reconciling work of the Father through his Son to reconcile us to himself and then give us this ministry of reconciliation. God making his appeal through us. Think about that. In chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, we see really this amazing truth. Verse 1, as God's fellow workers. I mean, did you catch that? We're co-laborers. Fellow workers. We urge you, he says, not to receive God's grace in vain. What a privilege to be considered a fellow worker, a co-laborer with the living God. To stand before a world that desperately needs to hear the truth of the gospel and be able to proclaim it with our lives, yes, but also to be faithful to proclaim it with our lips. God's put us here in this beautiful city. City of St. Petersburg. Maybe some of you are in Clearwater or Seminole or whatever. We're in the Tampa Bay area for a reason. He's not only called us out of darkness, but he's sent us back in on mission. Jesus in John 20, verse 21 says, just as the Father sent me, even so I am sending you. So we get to participate. We get to participate in God's mission to reconcile people to himself. Can you think of a greater privilege? And when Jesus speaks of all nations, when we think about this great commission from him, all nations includes this nation. This nation includes this city. which includes your neighborhood, which includes your home, which includes your family. But all nations also includes other nations and people groups, as we've heard today. But this isn't only about mission out there somewhere else. And that's what I want us to hear this morning. This isn't only about mission out there in Madagascar or some other foreign land. This is about mission right here in the city of St. Petersburg. And it's a commission that makes every disciple a disciple maker. It's a commission that should be about disciple making. And that should be the normal agenda of every church and every disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to make disciples. I want to see people come to an understanding of who Jesus really is. So what if we lived? What if we lived with the intentionality of a missionary? What would happen? What would happen? What motivates you to get up in the morning and to be on mission for the glory of God? We forget. It's so easy to forget this wonderful mission that God has called us to. What motivates you? Are you motivated by the fear of the Lord? Do you stand in awe of who He is? Are you compelled by the love of Christ? Are you amazed at this message of reconciliation that we have come to embrace and know and rejoice in, but also one that we've come to be an ambassador of? An ambassador carries a message to a foreign land, sometimes a hostile land. We don't change the message. We've been given a message, and now we get to share that message with those around us. Ambassadors of Christ, co-laborers, co-workers with God Himself. That's our privilege. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what we've been able to experience today, to hear testimonies from those who have been laboring here in this beautiful city, and to be able to stand behind them and partner with them. To hear, Lord, from Jerry and Donna and now the new friends that we have in Madagascar, and to hear what you've done there, and to celebrate, God, the fruit of that trip and the fruit now of this partnership. But also, Lord, to feel, Lord, and to really receive from your word what our motivation should be. We could be motivated by the wrong things. We want to be motivated by the right things daily. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would really understand that we have been called. We've been called out of darkness and sent back into our city on mission. You've set us here. You've drawn the boundary lines. You know, you knew where we would be right now. And Lord, you've called us to live in a particular manner, to be on mission, to be your ambassadors. May we be faithful. And I want to thank you for the faithfulness already represented by this church. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done in hearts. God, would you continue to stir us? Would you continue to help us see the great privilege set before us? In Jesus' name, amen.